And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Remember, I've added a new feature to the website, brainstormingonline.com. You can go there now, and I have a daily quiz, and we'll give the answer to the daily quiz the following day. Today's quiz is easy, just to get everybody started. It's a simple question. Will you spend more, less, or the same buying Christmas presents this year for the holiday season? So go on to brainstormin', S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Take the quiz, and I'll announce the answers tomorrow. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is substance and illusion. Each of my guests is discussing his topic, and you'll decide whether there's substance or it's an illusion. My next guest is a Hollywood stuntman and stunt coordinator who uses the mystery of movie stunts and special effects to teach science to children. We'll discuss his methodology contained in his book, The Secret Science Behind Movies, Stunts, and Special Effects. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Steve Wolf has been producing film and TV for 25 years. He's the president of Wolf Stuntworks Incorporated and founder of Science in the Movies Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that teaches physics and chemistry through stunt demonstrations. Steve has been a stunt coordinator for MTV's Call to Greatness, which during that time he set two world records, and also for NBC's Three Wishes. He did special effects for James Cameron's Expedition Bismarck, and John Singleton's Hustle and Flow, which was a big winner at the Sundance Film Festival. His feature films have included The Firm, Three Men and a Baby, Do the Right Thing, The Last Boy Scout, The Client, The Jungle Book, and Castaway. His TV credits include All My Children, Law and Order, America's Most Wanted, Rescue 911, The David Letterman Show, and Whitney Houston's music videos. Steve studied communications at Tulane University and received his bachelor's in writing and literature with an emphasis on screenwriting from Columbia University in New York City. When he's not doing his thing, that's what his mom calls it, he's teaching, and he has years of experience teaching scuba diving, shooting, driving, mountaineering, stunt, special effects, first aid, and CPR, which I imagine comes in pretty handy, and even the most dangerous form of all, he teaches in preschool. Welcome to the show, Steve. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thanks so much for having me today.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you as our guest here on Brainstorming. And you're the first professional stuntman that I've ever had on the show. So I've got to start with the most obvious question. What was the path that led you to becoming a professional stuntman and stunt coordinator?
Simply adding money to the recipe of what I was already doing. If you study most 5- and 6-year-old boys, you'll see that they're already stunt and special effects people, right? They love swinging and climbing and falling and crashing their cars and, you know, blowing up their train sets, playing war. And really, these are all exactly the same things that you do in movie special effects. The only difference is that they pay you for it.
So you were a daredevil as a child?
You know, not really a daredevil. More, a cautious adventure seeker. So I always was aware that there are risks, and I never wanted to get hurt. And, I engineered ways to explore without getting hurt. But, I didn't let that stop me from climbing trees or rappelling off of my balcony when I was 7 years old and any of the other things I did. I put a little science into it and said, this can be fun and adventurous without being dangerous.
Well, then how did you make that transition when you knew you could take your avocation and turn it into an actual job and become a stuntman? I mean, what led you down that path? Was there an ad in the newspaper one day that said stuntman wanted? Or did you discover this in graduate school when you were studying journalism at Columbia?
Both of my parents set excellent examples for turning their passions into their jobs. And so I expected that what I would do as well. My dad had always said, figure out what you love to do and then find a way to get paid for it. my particular path was, I guess the statute of limitations on truancy has run out now, so I can admit that I used to cut school last period in fifth grade so I could get home in time to watch the new TV show Emergency, which ran in the early 70s.
Yes.
And there was nothing happening in school that was worth missing a new episode of Randy Mantooth and Gage and DeSoto on Emergency. I had to see that show. And so I was really enamored of what paramedics did. They got to rappel. They got to use cool equipment. They had jaws of life, the K-12 rescue saw. This looked like the ultimate toy shop job for me. So as soon as I was eligible, you know, the moment I turned 18, I went off to EMT school at Charity Hospital in New Orleans, which is like the trauma capital of the world, and got my EMT license, started working as a medic on ambulances, realized that, you know, I really just wasn't cut out to work for somebody else, although I thought the work was exciting. I decided I'd buy my own ambulance. And so I bought this old run-down ambulance that I found at a garage for $1,000. I fixed it up, got it working, got it certified, and I started a company called Cinemedic, where I provided paramedic services to movie sets where they were doing stunts and special effects. And this got me on set for the first time as the set medic. And having worked the streets in New Orleans for a while, I was pretty good at predicting when somebody was going to get hurt. You could just see in the setup that some part of the science was missing. And I'd tell the stunt guy, hey, you know, I see your ramp is pointed exactly at the window, but, you know, things don't fly straight. They fly in trajectory. And that would usually be greeted with, hey, why don't you drive the ambulance to let me do the stunt? It didn't go well. And then 10 minutes later, I'd be taking somebody to the hospital. But I was able to convince producers that my science-based approach to doing dangerous-looking things would save them money. And, you know, that's the gold producers want to hear about, is tell me how you can save me money. So I showed them how, using science, we could make stunts and special effects safer, cheaper, and create just as exciting an effect. And a few people gave me some breaks, let me on the set, and that started it. And then I sought out an internship with a world-famous special effects coordinator named Gary Zeller. We worked together for several years, and after that, I got my first gig on my own, which was doing the special effects for the Tom Cruise movie, The Firm. So with a Tom Cruise movie as the first line on your resume, the rest of the resume filled up pretty quickly. That was a great break, and it led to a really fun career.
I bet that
it did. Actually, I found out that, you know, as exciting as it sounds, most of the time on set is waiting around. It's incredibly boring in many cases. And a lot of times your creativity is being sought to do something really stupid, to work on a movie that's idiotic, that, you know, nobody benefits from watching, or, you know, bombs at the box office. And here, you know, you are having invested the days of your life, you know, few and precious as they are, in something that really wasn't very meaningful.
Well, that is true, Steve. But does the check clear? That's the important thing. Does the check clear?
I heard that. I'll come back to the check clearing in a minute. But what I decided to do is take my interest in the science of how special effects were done and how stunts were done, and use that to get kids excited about learning science. Because kids, you know, they're natural scientists, they're curious about everything, and then they get put into a school system that bores them to death, scares them away from science, scares them away from math, and prepares them to have careers doing I really don't know what. But I knew that I loved, you know, my relationship with science, and that exploring the world, figuring out how it works, and then once you know how the rules of the world work, being able to build things of your own invention is fascinating. So I started going into schools, and I created this program called Science in the Movie. And I do a one-hour lecture presentation demonstration where I show kids six really neat movie stunts and special effects, and then I show them the science behind it. And in the course of those demonstrations, I end up teaching the kids all the physical science that they're likely to need in school. We cover over 100 topics, and, you know, with sufficient depth and visual excitement that they remember it, they learn it, and they're excited about it.
That's
teach,
great.
Science and safety. It is tremendously fun. The kids that are seeing this program now are scoring 30% higher than kids who haven't seen it. Teachers are coming up and saying, you know, I've been teaching, you know, pulleys for 4 years, but this is the first time I actually understood how they work. when you lift, you know, when you had that second grade girl lift the principal to the ceiling, or, you know, I knew that gases were bigger than, you know, the liquid that they're created from when you boil something, but I had no idea that three drops of liquid could fill a whole room until I saw your smoke machine demonstration.
Absolutely, it is.
And then beyond what they actually learn in the presentation, it has the effect of motivation. And a motivated learner learns on their own. A motivated learner isn't held back by the qualifications or lack thereof of their teachers. They hit the internet, they talk to friends, they go to the library, they conduct their own education. And that kid's going to get, very far, and they're going to be less of a burden on their teachers because, they're taking care of their own education, which is, really the direction of future education.
Which is what we all want. My guest is Steve Wolf. He's the author of the book, The Secret Science Behind Movie Stunts and Special Effects. And Steve, one of the things that I captured from your answer there is that as frightening and as realistic as stunts may look on television or in the movies, they're actually pretty safe. I mean, as a stuntman and a stunt coordinator, how do you balance this safety and this realism? Have you ever done a stunt that is you just know that it's not safe, but you went ahead and did it anyway?
I haven't. And that's really one of the hardest things for a stunt or effects coordinator to learn, is that there is a time to say no. And, just because they waited until, 2 minutes before sunset to get the explosion shot that they needed to be against the sun, and they tell you at that minute, that doesn't mean that you have to rush and set up your explosives and do something that you don't feel comfortable with. I was once asked to do that. I had like 4 minutes till sunset, and they're like, oh, quick, put the gas in the car, put the explosives, we got to blow it right now. And I reminded them that the sunset time for that date was predictable as much as 30 years in advance using simple solar formulas. And it was not a surprise to anyone who would have cared to know when sunset was that day. If they wanted an explosion, they should have told me a few hours ago. So I assured them that despite their fears, the sun would in fact set again the next day, that they would have another opportunity to do this, and that we would do it when it was safe.
Well, along those same lines, the Discovery Channel's popular TV show MythBusters recently had an accident on set when a homemade cannon that they set up shot a cannonball, sent it flying through a residential neighborhood. It eventually crashed through a house and smashed the car of a window, a car window. Now, when you look at something like that as a professional, you look at that, you have to ask yourself what went wrong. So, kind of give us an idea what did go wrong there.
When I heard about that, my heart sank. Because obviously the people's homes were destroyed and his lives were put in jeopardy, had every right to be upset. But, if you work with explosives long enough, there's probably a likelihood something, you're much more likely to be the one who has an explosive accident than the person who's never done it or does it once. When you put rockets into space often enough, one of them's going to blow up. Mm. You're going to lose some astronauts. Debris field may fall on people. But that doesn't mean that you give up the pursuit. What the MythBusters do is incredibly valuable. They get thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of kids excited about learning science. And the side effect of that is that occasionally they're going to do something that goes wrong, where there's an unpredicted result, and people may be put in danger. It's inadvertent. It's an unintended consequence, an unfortunate side effect. But if you weigh it against the good that's done, I think that it's worthwhile.
My guest is Steve Wolf.
I've been in the same situation with them. I've done things that did exactly the way I thought they would, where, thank goodness nobody got hurt, but, that feeling that you could have hurt somebody unintentionally is a horrible feeling.
It has to be something difficult to live with.
The trick is to not give up. Yeah. I mean, if I had ever, killed something, I don't know how you would live with that. Mm. Unless you realize that in the pursuit of science, there will be casualties.
Well, I want to return back to something we were talking about earlier, Steve, and that is the science and teaching of science in schools, getting children excited about it. You have the opportunity now with your program, Science in the Movies, to go into a lot of schools and assess the state of science education in our grade schools. So give us your assessment. What's the state of the science education right now in the schools that you go to visit?
It's sad. It's sad. Teachers, especially in elementary school, are afraid of science. They studied education, they didn't study science. they took a class and had to teach elementary science, but they don't really have a lot of firsthand experience or mastery of it. So they steer clear of it, and they focus more on what they consider to be softer or easier subjects. And, you know, kids pick up on how you feel about things. If you feel strange and scared and nervous about science, you know, you pass that on, and those kids inherit those attitudes. So that's a shame, especially since the science is actually really easy. It's simple. It's the recipe of how the universe works, and it's accessible to everyone. So I think that making teachers more comfortable with science by spending more time giving them opportunities for hands-on experience is very, very important.
Well, I would agree with you, and it has set our science programs back vis-a-vis the world because we don't have qualified science teachers teaching it at the grade school level. My guest is Steve Wolfe. And, Steve, now you've written this book, The Secret Science Behind Movie Stunts and Special Effects, which I think is great. What do you want readers to take away from reading your book?
Two things. The first thing that they'll get is a good understanding of many simple and fundamental science concepts, because I take, you know, what I consider to be the 100 most important science concepts, and I teach them in the book through examples that are based on movie stunts and special effects. So because they're visual, they're very clear, they're understandable. You read about the pulleys, you get it. You read about the three states of matter, and, you know, maybe for the first time, you know, you get it. I should say the three most common states of matter, because there's many other forms, and we're discovering new forms all the time. The second thing, though, is it's somewhat autobiographical, and it's the story of this kid who fell in love with science when he was in first grade, was put off of science by fourth grade. You know, when teachers told me that because I didn't get the size of the margins right in my science report, that I clearly knew nothing about science, and pushed me out of any academic interest in science. And then that through my own exploration of the world, you know, fell back in love with science and became a science teacher, and now teach science teachers how to teach science.
That is great. My guest has been Steve Wolfe, the author of the book, The Secret Science Behind Movie Stunts and Special Effects. Steve, if people are intrigued by what they hear and they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, maybe pick it up for their grade school child, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would send them to scienceinthemovies.com, and there they would be able to order a copy of the book. And if they include appropriate instructions, I will autograph the book for them.
Oh, that is great. That is very nice.
Or for a kid who has that interest. If you want to go directly to that page, you could just go to stuntsciencebook.com.
stuntsciencebook.com. Steve, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Billy, thank you so much.
Take care.